In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. In the 11th hour of Jazz at 100, we followed Count Basie through the Benny Moten Band in Kansas City and heard his first recordings as a leader. In 1937, after Benny Moten's death, he took the nation by storm with his driving band led by the All-American Rhythm Section and the dual tenor saxophones of Herschel Evans and Lester Young. We are joined in this hour by Robert Jospe, drummer, recording artist, composer, and member of the performance faculty of the McIntyre Department of Music at the University of Virginia. Count Basie said, "I've always built my band from the rhythm section to the tenors, then on to the rest, for the living pulse of the band is naturally the rhythm section. The piano can create a mood, but it can also join forces with the guitar, bass, and drums to become a power unit that drives and motivates the entire outfit. The result should be solid, but also flexible. There must be control that is not confined." Of Basie's All-American Rhythm Section, Gary Giddens writes, "Basie's rhythm section was his greatest innovation, the finest foundation of its kind, leveling offbeat accents in favor of a resolute 4-4. It floated the band. Nothing in music can quite match those moments in Basie's 30s recordings when Joe Jones tattoos the hi-hat and the other All-Americans go into action. By then, streamlining was evident in every aspect of the band." While based on the rhythm section, Basie's band featured a slew of excellent soloists, for example, tenor saxophonists Herschel Evans and Lester Young, and trumpeters Buck Clayton and Harry Sweets Edison. Let's turn first to Herschel Evans. Gary Giddens wrote, "Basie was the first band leader to popularize a reed section with two tenors. In Herschel Evans, he had one of the Southwest's most distinctive respondents to Coleman Hawkins. His darkly romantic tone, as on Blue and Sentimental, and red-blooded authority, as on Doggin' Around and Every Tub, complemented Lester Young's insuperably logical flights." Let's listen to the Count Basie Band featuring Herschel Evans doing Blue and Sentimental, Doggin' Around, and Every Tub, all from 1938. Thank you. Three tunes from Count Basie and his orchestra featuring tenor saxophonist Herschel Evans, Blue and Sentimental, Doggin' Around, and Every Tub. Now let's introduce Lester Young to the mix. Again, according to Gary Giddens, tenor player Herschel Evans mined the ground beat. Lester Young barely glanced at it. Heard back-to-back in such performances as 1 O'Clock Jump and Georgiana, in both cases, Evans solos first. They define the range of the tenor in that era. They are as distinct as if they were playing different instruments. So let's listen to 1 o'clock Jump and Georgiana, remembering that Herschel Evans is the first solo on both of these tracks and Lester Young the second.
Georgiana, you a jug of honey to me. Sweet Georgiana, sweet as any peach on a tree. When we're together, walking side by side, I feel so proud passing the crowd. My heart just bumped with pride. Sweet Georgiana, after all the saying is done, you are the sweetness underneath the sun, rolled into one. I dreamed of orange blossom, you know the sign. So Georgiana, tell me when you're gonna be mine. Gonna be mine.
Tenor saxophonists Herschel Evans and Lester Young with the Count Basie Orchestra from 1 O'Clock Jump, 1937, and Georgiana, 1938. We'll turn the spotlight on trumpeters Buck Clayton and Harry Sweets Edison when Jazz at 100 returns in a moment. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're listening to the great Count Basie band of the late 1930s, turning our attention now to Buck Clayton. Gary Giddens wrote, "The trumpet section offered a similarly contrasting twosome. Buck Clayton's warm and golden tone modulated Armstrong's drama with reticent lyricism that could be celebrational, as in Jumping at the Woodside, or playful, as in Dickie's Dream, or inscrutable, as in Good Morning Blues." And let's listen to those selections, Jumpin' at the Woodside, Dickie's Dream, and Good Morning Blues from Count Basie and his orchestra featuring trumpeter Buck Clayton. Thank you.
Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Babe, I feel all right, but I come to worry you. Babe, it's Christmas time. I wanna see Santa Claus. Baby, it's Christmas time, and I wanna see Santa Claus. Don't show me my pretty baby, I'll break all of the laws. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, listen to my Claus, listen to my plea. Don't say for Christmas, but my baby back to me.
Three selections from Count Basie and his orchestra featuring trumpeter Buck Clayton: Jumpin' at the Woodside from 1938, Dickie's Dream from 1939, and Good Morning Blues from 1937. The other great trumpet soloist from that early Basie band was Harry Sweets Edison. Gary Giddens wrote, "Clayton occasionally used a cup mute, but left most of the muted work to Harry Edison, whom Lester Young nicknamed Sweets for the insinuatingly nasty tone he produced. Edison brought a crafty and even caustic wit to the band in elliptical solos played with a tight, edgy timbre. As in Blowtop or Jive at Five, his 12-year tenure began in 1938, and when he left, his grasp of obligato and dynamics made him an ideal singer's accompanist. Nelson Riddle used him whenever possible on sessions by Sinatra and Nat King Cole." We'll hear Blowtop from 1940 and Jive at Five from 1939, the Count Basie Band featuring Harry Sweets Edison.
Thank you.
Two tunes from the Basie Band, Blowtop and Jive at Five. We'll return to hear more from Lester Young with Count Basie when Jazz at 100 continues in a moment. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're listening to Count Basie's memorable late 30s recordings. We asked Robert Jospe to discuss the role of drummer Papa Joe Jones and the Great American Rhythm Section in the Basie Band.
How did Papa Joe Jones, the great jazz drummer with Count Basie, change the course of drumming or the course of jazz? Wenton Marcellus had said in a lecture once that it's really the drums and the rhythm that moves the music ahead. That's where the innovation starts. Joe Jones was one of those innovators. He took a different approach to the drum set. First of all, he started using the brushes a lot. He created the unbelievable sound of the hi-hat swinging and opening and closing, and he really pioneered that sound with the Basie Band, as well as the small groups that he played in, the Kansas City smaller groups. He opened up the drum set and started a different approach to keeping time, first of all, by doing one thing in particular, which was to drop the bass drum from pounding away on the quarter note, the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, Gene Krupa was known for these unbelievable drum solos, and you can always hear that dum 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 dum, you know, in Sing Sing Sing. Yes, that's got it. And all of his solos, it was all, a lot of it was that bass drum. Papa Joe Jones, he dropped that bass drum, and he just opened things up. So the modern drum set is played for small groups that really took off in the 50s with Max Roach and Art Blakey and Kenny Clarke and Roy Haynes in the 40s and early 50s. It came out of Papa Joe Jones's approach. He had a buoyancy to his sound. He floated and swished that hi-hat, dropped the bass drum, and played with a lighter buoyancy to the kit than sort of the heavier thumping of the drum set. I think that set the stage for a modern drum set approach, which later became much, much freer, with the drummer not just keeping time, but also interacting with the soloists when you get into people like Elvin Jones and especially Tony Williams in the 60s, and you hear how the drumming became counterpoint, constant counterpoint, as much interest in the drums as the soloists, and the rhythm sections were just getting much more open and fluent and using many more polyrhythms and counterpoint along with the soloing. But it came out of Papa Joe Jones, I think, because he had that way of using the drum set in the music that had an open, buoyant feel. He had a fantastic swinging feel. Like Buddy Rich, he started in the 20s in vaudeville. He was a tap dancer, and he played other instruments. He was a musical monster, really.
Robert Jaspe. Perhaps no recording better illustrates the role of the Great American Rhythm Section in the Basie Band than Taxi War Dance. Gary Giddens wrote, "It's a head arrangement without a theme, and everything about it is distinctive. Basie begins with four bars of boogie-woogie, extended another four bars with the addition of a band riff. Except for that riff, the first half of the record could be by a small ensemble, rhythm section plus two soloists. Young dances in with a fast paraphrase of the first four notes of Old Man River, which he repeats as a springboard into a bluesy melody of his own, more than compensating for the absence of a written theme. His chorus is a grid of contrary melodic fragments, each complete in itself and rhythmically invincible, which ultimately makes perfect sense. After a two-measure boogie-woogie transition, trombonist Dickie Wells also plays a full and trenchantly expressive chorus. Now the ensemble enters, to kick off two choruses in which it plays no more than a four-measure or six-note call, eliciting four-measure responses from tenor saxophone, Buddy Tate in the first chorus and Young in the second. In each instance, Basie claims the bridge for the rhythm section. The piece ends with a round robin of two-measure breaks by Basie, Young, Walter Page on bass, Papa Joe Jones on drums, and the ensemble." Taxi War Dance from 1939. Thank you. That was Taxi War Dance, featuring the Count Basie Orchestra and its great rhythm section. Let's listen to two other tunes that feature Lester Young. In the first case, with Count Basie's Kansas City 7, a small group setting, a tune Lester Leaps In from 1939. In this case, the seven are Buck Clayton on trumpet, Dickie Wells on trombone, Lester Young on tenor, and then the rhythm section of Freddie Green on guitar, Walter Page on bass, Joe Jones on drums, and of course, Count Basie on piano. This is a classic small group performance for Young and Basie with a more than able contribution by Clayton. The inspirational interplay of Basie's piano accompaniment is almost the equal of Young's inventive brilliance. This according to Martin Williams from the Notes to the Smithsonian Collection of Classic Jazz. And then we'll also listen to Tickle Toe from Count Basie and his orchestra featuring Lester Young. Count Basie's Kansas City 7 with Lester Leaps In and Tickletoe with Count Basie and his orchestra, both featuring Lester Young. Robert Jospe commented on Lester Young's development as a soloist in the context of playing with Joe Jones and the Basie rhythm section.
Do you hear that in Lester Young's playing, that lightness, ethereal, floaty, but still pocket groove? But it's so pleasing and lovely to hear him solo, and he's just floating over the time. And it's, I mean, he couldn't have done that if he didn't have a drummer who was giving him that support. The drums create this atmosphere, and the music sits in the atmosphere of the drums a lot of times, the cymbals, the whole swishiness of it, the sonic space that the drums create. And we do, as drummers, 90% of the time play a supportive role to the music overall, to the soloists and the rhythm section. We're keeping it together. We're holding the time down. We're checking out the arrangements. We're trying to give the soloist the sound support with the cymbals and everything else. If that bass drum was just driving, if he was playing maybe an older style or didn't have that sensitivity to a lighter sound and a lighter rhythm section, I don't think Prez would have felt as comfortable. Lester Young's sound and development was supported tremendously by Papa Joe Jones. They worked together for so many years. They were all coming out of that band together.
Our thanks to Robert Jospe. The Count Basie Band was a longtime platform for singer Jimmy Rushing. Before joining the bands of Walter Page and Benny Moten, Jimmy Rushing and Count Basie were scuffling on their own, and according to Gary Giddens, together hit numerous small towns playing buckets of blood on Saturday night and churches on Sunday morning. For nearly 15 years, he remained Basie's key singer, and just about every record they made together is a classic. Not only the lofty, often intensely poetic blues like I Left My Baby. Let's listen to I Left My Baby, Count Basie and his orchestra featuring Jimmy Rushing on vocals from 1939.
Standing in the back door crying. Yes, I left my baby. Standing in the back door crying. She said, baby, you got a home just as long as I've got mine. When I leave you, baby, count the days I'm gone. When I leave you, baby, count the days I'm gone. Where there ain't no love, there ain't no getting along. Thank you.
I Left My Baby, Jimmy Rushing on vocals with Count Basie and his orchestra. A final word from Ted Gioia from his History of Jazz. Perhaps the Basie ensemble lacked the arranging and composing genius of an Ellington or the instrumental virtuosity of Goodman, but as a blowing band, it was without peer. In the next hour, we'll hear from Duke Ellington in the 1930s, pioneering his extended works and introducing his late 30s band with Ben Webster on tenor and Jimmy Blanton on bass, known by the fans as the Blanton-Webster Band. You've been listening to Jazz at 100, the history of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU Charlottesville and funded in part through a grant from the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. For more information, playlists, and resources, go to WTJU.net/Jazz100, where you'll find archives of all previously broadcast programs. This is your host, Russell Perry.